The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to Jesus, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us, then, what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this and whose title?" They answered, "Caesar's." Then Jesus said to them, "Give therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Creator, Jesus Christ, God with us, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. There are two main things that I come to church for: to be comforted and to be challenged. Faith is not an easy thing, and it's even harder to live out our faith in a world that often chooses violence over peace. The past 2 weeks have been incredibly painful in so many ways to people in this community, people in Greater Boston, and of course, all around the world. I've sat with people in pain for all sorts of reasons over these past few weeks, particularly concerning the war in Gaza and Israel. Pain for loved ones in harm's way, fear of being doxxed or having your information, your personal information, shared publicly without your consent, and despair for not knowing how to come together for peace. Faith in the gospel is challenging because it tells us that there is another way. In a world that so often chooses bloodshed over companionship, the good news of Jesus Christ offers a radical opposing view. People in power often don't like the gospel's radical vision for our world. So there are things that people can do, like call your representatives and senators, like I've done this past week, and talk about how we're feeling about what is happening in the world. But for the things that are so deep inside of us, the things that we feel and we cannot shake, I myself find myself turning to prayer. Prayer matters because, as Pastor Carey put it to me this week, our first allegiance is to God. But at the same time that our first allegiance is to God, we have a second first allegiance, as odd as that might sound. One side of the coin represents God, and the other side represents people, the world, our neighbors, and indeed ourselves. God's command to love one another, as being the summation of all the law and all the prophets, and striving to practice that love to the best of our ability, is living out our faith. And it is living out our allegiance to God. With God as our first allegiance, our allegiance is to all of humanity, no matter the person's faith, no matter where they are born, no matter their gender or sexuality or anything else, with God as our first allegiance, our allegiance is to each other. The religious leaders of Jesus' time in today's gospel reading come to him trying to catch him in a trap. But the disciples of the Pharisees and the Herodians start out their conversation by saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Let's sit with that one verse for a second. Now, even if the disciples of the Pharisees and the Herodians are coming, trying to catch Jesus in some kind of trap, they really are saying the truth. Jesus, they see him, they see what he is doing, they see how he treats others, they see how he is sincere and how he teaches the way of God in accordance with truth, showing deference to no one, and not regarding people with partiality. When I read that, I have no other way of summing it up than saying that Jesus loves. Jesus loves. In the night before he died, Jesus broke bread and shared wine with his friends. And when he shared the cup, he said that it was given to all people for the forgiveness of sin. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't do it just for me or just for you or just for us in this church building. He did it for everyone across all time and space. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he destroyed death forever, not just for you or for me, but for everyone. Jesus did all of this out of love, without partiality. Jesus is the example. He meets us wherever we find ourselves in our lives and encourages us to choose love as our guiding force. That is good news, and it is our challenge. It's the essence of Jesus' message throughout the gospel, and it isn't always easy. Seems like we're always surrounded by war. And I can't remember a time in my life where this country wasn't really at some kind of war. But I firmly believe, as I said to you the very first time I stood in this pulpit, that God calls to us through the prophet Isaiah by saying that he shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. What we read in this verse is not just a story about the winning side, or the righteous fighters, or the winners of the just war. It isn't just the winners or the people we like who destroy their weapons. It's all of us. We are all called to destroy our weapons and end violence once and for all. Yet still, we know that this is not easy. And we can only do this with God's help. So as I said a little bit ago at the outset of my sermon, when everything is crashing down and I don't know what else to do, I pray. And one prayer that I often pray is the Great Litany. Now, this prayer is designed to be chanted and done in response with a leader and a community responding. But I do it by myself and I just say the whole thing. And this prayer isn't great because it talks about uplifting things or makes us feel really good about ourselves. But rather, it's one of the greatest, strongest, most all-encompassing prayers of the church. In this prayer, we pray for ourselves, for our communities, for our nation, and for the world. It's often chanted the first Sunday of Lent when we turn inward and examine ourselves in preparation for Holy Week and Easter. So today, when I finish this sermon, we'll chant the Great Litany together. The choir will lead us, and in our hymnals you'll find it, and we'll respond with the parts that are in bold, with the assembly as the response. And I won't go through and list everything in the prayer and everything that we're going to pray for, because it should speak for itself. But as we chant the prayer, I want you to think about the words that we sing. And I invite you, even though it's not Lent, to turn inward and let the words of this liturgy be a vessel for whatever you are carrying with you. The great benefit of our liturgies is that they do become a container for whatever we are burdened by. And through our liturgies and through our prayers, we can turn those things over to God, who always listens. One thing that I do want you to think about as we chant this prayer together is the word us. The word us appears over and over again in this chanted prayer. But what does that word us mean? Do we just mean the people in this church building? Or just those in our city? Or just the citizens of this country? Dear ones, when we say the word us, we should mean the whole world. This is the challenge of the gospel, to pray for the whole world. We need to model our prayer after the life of Jesus, who does not treat people with partiality. Jesus teaches the way of truth and light and peace, and the prayer of this church in this worship service on October 22nd, 2023 is not for us alone. We need to model our prayer after our crucified and risen Savior, who despite his agony and bloody sweat, bore the cross for the whole world. Our prayer is for the whole world. Beloved children of God, the Lamb of God has taken away the sin of the world, and out of that free gift we are free to respond. Will our response be one calling for bloodshed and violence? Or will we forgive our enemies, persecutors and slanderers, reconcile ourselves to them, and use wisely the fruits and treasures of the earth, the sea, and air, as the Great Litany says? Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, as a community that wants to follow the way of Jesus and commit itself to love, let us pray. God, our Creator, as we now prepare to sing before you the Great Litany of your church, may it rise up before you like incense. Jesus the Christ, guide us in your way of impartiality and love. Holy Spirit, kindle fires of justice within us. Holy Trinity, one God, grant us peace. Amen.